Matthew chapter 24, let's start reading in verse 45. Matthew 24, verse 45. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his master made ruler over his household to give them food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. Assuredly I say to you that he will make him ruler over all of his goods. But if that evil servant says in his heart, my master is delaying in his coming, and begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunkards, the master of that servant will come on a day when he's not looking for him and in an hour when he's not aware of, and will cut him in two and appoint his portion with the hypocrites. And there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So here is a servant that is put in charge of overseeing his master's estate. And if that servant is faithful, Jesus says, then he will be entrusted with even more. But if that servant, who is entrusted over his master's goods, begins to beat his master's servants that he's over, and begins to use his master's food and wine to throw parties for himself and for his friends, then what's going to happen to him? Well, obviously, he'll be disapproved of by his master when he has to give an account, and he will be punished for it. So Jesus makes a pretty clear-cut case here. And we don't have maybe the same dynamic in the workforce today, but we understand the idea of being entrusted something, being under someone, having responsibility under someone. We get that, so we can relate to what Jesus is saying here. But what I want us to think about in this parable is, why would a servant become so unfaithful with his master's goods, such as to start to throw parties for himself or to beat those that he's been put over? And I think we get the answer in the phrase that the servant gives, my master is delaying in his coming. Because what is indicated there is that the thought of accountability is distant. He's forgotten his position. He's forgotten, or he's putting a distance between his responsibility and his accountability there. With the master out of mind, then he begins to treat his master's estate as if it's his own to do whatever he wants to do with it. And that's exactly what we see in the world today. With the master out of mind, people use God's possessions as if they're their own to do whatever they want to do with them. They're not accountable to anybody. They're not thinking about that they're going to have to answer to that. And Christians struggle with this. We forget this. God blesses us with things, and very quickly we forget that they're God's. They're not ours. And we're going to have to give an account for it. So I really want us to focus in on that. I want us to just, I guess, bring our focus back to reality. Because I think sometimes we live in fantasy. And the fantasy is that this is my life, and this is my body, and this is my possessions, and this is my time, and I can do with it what I want to do with it. And that is not reality. The reality is that it all belongs to God. It all belongs to God. If you open up your Bibles to the very first chapter, Genesis chapter 1, that starts off, God created the heavens and the earth. They're His. He makes the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the cattle, everything that moves upon the earth. They're all His. But then look at verse 26, Genesis 1, verse 26. This is an amazing verse. God said, let us make man in our own image, according to our own likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So what God does is He makes man manager over His world, His creation. But having dominion over something is not the same as having ownership over something. And we need to remember that. The very first chapter of the Bible establishes what I believe is one of the most fundamental principles of our role and purpose here. Our role and purpose is we are stewards. We are stewards. We have been entrusted with the management of God's property. We've been entrusted with the management of the affairs of God here upon this earth. It's entrusted to our oversight, but it's not ours. That's reality. And we must keep that reality in our mind if we're going to have the proper perspective of how to live here. It all belongs to God. Psalm 24 and verse 1 says this, "The earth is the Lord's and its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein." It belongs to God. Deuteronomy 10 and verse 14, "Indeed, the heaven and the highest heavens belong to the Lord your God, also the earth and all that is in it." Job in Job 41 in verse 11, God says, "Everything under heaven is mine." God knows that. He recognizes that. And here's what that means. That means your money is not yours. It's God's. Haggai chapter 2, verse 8, God says, "The silver is mine. The gold is mine," says the Lord. In 1 Chronicles chapter 29 and verse 12, it talks about that both riches and honor come from God, and He reigns over all. Deuteronomy 8, verse 18, Moses says, "You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the power to get wealth." My money. God gave you the ability to get it, and it's His. It belongs to Him. Your property is not your own. Growing up, we never owned property. We always rented. And I always wanted a place of my own, you know, that I could do with it what I wanted to do. And the Lord has blessed me, and I have a piece of property that's deeded in my name. But one of the things that I try to remember is, you know what's going to happen to it? Well, ultimately, it's going to be burned up, because that's what the Lord has deemed He's going to do with the earth, His earth. But right now, He's letting me play with it. I'm getting my time to play with it. That's what's happening. It's not mine. And sometimes I think, particularly when maybe we've had a piece of property and, well, you know, great, 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 great grandpa, he moved here from somewhere and he bought it, and this property's been in the generation. This is our property. I understand. But reality is, it's God's. It's God's, and He's letting us use it. Leviticus chapter 25, verse 23. "The land shall not be sold permanently, for the land is mine, for you are strangers and sojourners with me." And that wasn't just true for the land of Israel and for the tribes of Israel. That's true for all of us dwelling on the face of this earth. It's God's. It's God's. The cattle. I love this passage in Psalm 50, verses 10 and 12. "Every beast of the forest is mine," the Lord says. "The cattle on a thousand hills. I know all the birds of the mountain and the wild beasts of the field. They are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is mine in its fullness." That's right. He owns it all. Even our bodies are not our own. You hear people say, "It's my body. I can do whatever I want with it." You can't tell me, "I don't have to take care of myself if I don't want to. I can do that." That's But it's not your body. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20, "Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's." Now maybe in the context here it's talking about Christians in particular, in a particular sense, their bodies belong to the Lord. But all of us belong to the Lord. Our bodies belong to the Lord. He's the one who gives. He holds our very breath in His hand. We're His. We're His. The reality is that God is the owner of all things, and we are just stewards to manage what He's entrusted to us for a short period of time. This idea of stewardship. A steward is someone who the owner has entrusted with the management of the assets. This is mine, but I want you to manage it for a little bit. I want you to take care of it for a little bit. And the idea is I want you to manage it for me. If someone is a steward of my possessions, it's not for their benefit that they're managing that. It's for my benefit that I've entrusted that to them. They're doing that for my causes and purposes. A steward listens to his master's will. What do you want me to do with this? How do you want this used? And tries to implement whatever his master's investment strategies are. How do you want me to take care of this? 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2, Paul says, "Moreover, it's required in stewards that one be found faithful. What does faithfulness and stewardship look like? And I want us to look at some parables and occasions in Jesus' life that I think demonstrate well to us what faithfulness in stewardship looks like. What is the Lord looking for? Turn over to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. Parable of the talents. You're probably, maybe most of you are familiar with this. But let's go ahead and read it together. We're going to start Matthew chapter 25 and verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to the first he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability, and immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them. And his Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He also who had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents besides them. And the Lord said, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Therefore you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. What does faithfulness look like? What does faithful stewardship look like in this parable? Well, it looks like taking what's been entrusted to you and using what's been entrusted to you to further the cause of your master's estate. 5 talents was given. That was used to earn 5 more talents that then all 10 talents were given back to the Lord. Well done, good and faithful servant. 2 talents were given which were used to earn 2 more talents which were given back to the master. Well done, good and faithful. What unfaithfulness looks like in that is taking what was entrusted and not using it for the purposes of the master. I hid it. Here, you have it back, but it profited nothing. It gained nothing. Wicked and lazy servant. The very least, you could have deposited it so that it earned interest. This was entrusted you to do something with, and you did nothing with it. Nothing to further the cause of your master. Faithfulness doesn't always mean just using what's entrusted to gain more material things. I think sometimes we talk about, in Christian circles, we talk about someone is a good steward of their money. They're a good steward of their money. And what we mean by that is they're careful with it. They don't waste it. They don't squander. As a matter of fact, they invest it or use it in such a way that it gains more. But that's not always what good stewardship looks like. It's not always just about gaining more material, using what material things have been given and gaining more material things. For instance, look over in Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12 and verse 16. Jesus spoke a parable to them saying, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully, and he thought within himself saying, what shall I do since I have no room to store my crops? And he said, I'll do this. I'll pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store all of my crops and my goods, and I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? And then the conclusion, the point. So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. This man managed God's assets in a way to have an abundance of them. He increased what the Lord had entrusted to him, but he forgot what those things were to be used for. Did you notice that? He increased them, but he managed them for himself so that he could say to his soul, take ease, eat, drink, be merry. They were for his benefit. He forgot that wasn't the reason they were entrusted to him. That's the reason God said, fool, you have to give these things back, but you didn't use them for the right thing. You weren't rich towards God. You may have been rich for yourself. He forgot to manage them to increase God's estate. Let me ask you this. What do you call an employee who takes what belongs to the company and uses them for his own personal gain? An embezzler. That's what you call them. And there are a lot of embezzlers on this earth who take what God has entrusted and use it for their own personal gain without thinking about, oh yeah, this was entrusted to me for me to use for God's glory, to build up my master's estate. And it's so easy to fall into that because we're surrounded by people all around us, and that's the way that they think. That's the way that they think. Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19, let's look starting in verse 16, please. Now behold, one came and said to Jesus, good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? So he said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter life, keep the commandments. And he said to him, which ones? Jesus said, you shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And the young man said to him, all these things I have kept from my youth. What do I still lack? Jesus said to him, if you want to be perfect, go and sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Do you ever kind of feel sorry for this guy? And I mean feel sorry for him in the sense that if you put yourself in his sandals, what would you do? If Jesus came to you and said, go sell everything you have, give to the poor, and follow me. You've worked hard a long time for those things. They have sentimental value to you, if nothing else. Could you give them up to follow him? Does it seem unreasonable? I think sometimes we almost read this. I mean, this seems to be a good guy. He seems to be a person that's interested in spiritual things, a good moral person in so many ways. And it seems unreasonable that he would be asked to go sell all of his possessions and follow Jesus. Let me say this. What Jesus required of him may have been an abrupt change in policy. And what I mean by that is Jesus didn't go around telling everybody that, hey, you have to sell everything you have. But that was not an unreasonable request. Do you know why it was not an unreasonable request? Whose possessions did this rich man have? He had God's possessions. They had been entrusted to him by God. Who is it speaking to him? Good teacher, why do you call me good? There's only one good. That's God. That's who's talking to him. God is the one saying, here's what I want you to do with my possessions. Did God have the right to do that? Absolutely. This man was a steward of what God had entrusted to him. But he forgot that. And I know that he forgot that because when the master said to the steward, I want you to do this with my things, what the steward did is rebel. And he went away sorrowful. He was unhappy that it turned out this way, but he was not willing to acknowledge these things belong to God, and if this is what God wants me to do with these things, then that's what I'll do. I need to be reminded of that a lot because I easily forget that. I easily forget that. There can be no true understanding of stewardship until there's an accurate understanding of ownership. Who do these things really belong to? And if we really believe that God is owner of all that we have, then we should regularly be asking ourselves, Lord, what do you want me to do with this money that you've given me? What do you want me to do with this day that you've given me? What do you want me to do with this ability that you have granted to me, or the health that you have given me, or whatever it is? Because it's yours. I acknowledge that it's yours. I keep that in mind that it's yours and that you've entrusted it to me to do something for your estate, for your kingdom. What is it that you want me to do with it? God expects us to use all of His resources to carry out His will for the kingdom. Stewardship is not one area of Christian life. Stewardship is Christian life. That's what it means. Stewardship is not, well, I dedicate 10% of all the money that I have to spiritual causes. No. Because God didn't give you 10%. He gave you 100% of what you have. And said, use this for my purpose. Now, what does that look like? Well, part of that's taking care of our needs. That's how He provides for us. He wants us to enjoy part of it. But we must never get into the mindset of, you know, whatever percent, 90%, whatever is mine, and then this, this is God's. It's all God's. We may set aside part of it for a specific spiritual work, but all of it is for the furtherance of His kingdom, and we must remember that. Not one day in seven belongs to the Lord. Every day belongs to the Lord. It's His time. He gave it to us, entrusted us with it to use for His glory. All our resources are to be at His disposal. Luke 16, verses 1 and 2 says this. Jesus said to His disciples, there was a certain rich man who had a steward, and an accusation was brought against him that the man was wasting his goods. So he called him and said to him, what is this I hear about you? Give an account of your stewardship. Jesus uses this parable because this is something they can relate to. Yeah. If someone is given a stewardship, is entrusted with something, then that master has the right to call him to an account and say, what are you doing with the things that I've given you? I'm hearing that you're not using these in a responsible way. I need to know about this. They would recognize that. We can manage the assets that the Lord entrusted to us, and we can do it in a way that He approves of for His purposes, or we can manage them in a poor way by misusing them. But either way, we for sure, 100%, will give an account of it. And the Bible points that out very clearly. Romans 14 and verse 12. So then each of us will give an account of himself to God. 2 Corinthians 5:10, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he's done, whether good or bad. What have you done with the life that I've entrusted to you? Give an account of that. Hebrews 9, verse 27, it is appointed for men to die once, and after this, the judgment. Your time of using what I've entrusted to you is over. Now give an account for it. That's the concept there. Now, some, I think, might think it unfair that our first real performance review comes only after our last chance to make improvements is passed. Have you thought about that? First time you're going to give a real performance review is going to be after it's too late to go back and change anything. And some say, well, that seems unfair. But it's not unfair. Because, see, what we have here is a manual for how to manage the assets that have been entrusted to us. 2 Timothy 3, 15 and 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine or for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. God has recorded in the Bible everything we need to know about how He wants us to invest the assets that He's entrusted to us. It outlines His standards. It outlines His expectations. It's complete to let us know what we need. Now imagine the person, here they are standing before God on the day of judgment, and they say, God, I had no idea about this. I did not know that this all belonged to You and that You expected me to do with it what You wanted me to do. And You never told me how You wanted it to be used and what investments that You wanted me to be participating in or what You considered important about this. I didn't know any of these things. What would God say? I showed you. I gave you a manual. I gave you something to look at that all the way through very clearly stated what you were here to do. From the very beginning, man was placed here to have dominion, entrusted with these things, to use them for the purpose of My kingdom. And I went through and I detailed what that looked like. We have no excuse. We have no excuse. There's another point of this that I have been more and more impressed with as I've considered this idea of stewardship. And that is, the God that we serve is not a God that is saying, all right, I'm going to give you this, and I bet you can't use it right. I'm pretty sure you'll mess this up. And I'm going to get you on the day of judgment when you do. I don't think that's the picture that we have of the Master. Obviously, from the parables we've already looked at, God is a Master that says, I will hold you accountable. And if you misuse it, yes. But He's not a God that's looking for us to misuse it. He's looking for us to do good with it and to reward us for that. So here's the final point that I want us to make. God is faithful to reward us. God pays attention to how we manage what's entrusted to us. In Mark chapter 12, verse 41 through 44. This is just one of those little snippets that's recorded for us in the gospel of how Jesus noticed things that maybe others wouldn't notice. So it says, Jesus sat opposite the treasury, and He saw how the people put money into the treasury. So He's just observing this in the temple complex there. And many who are rich put in much, but then one poor widow came and threw two mites, which makes one quadrant. And so He called His disciples to Himself, and He said to them, assuredly, I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than those who have given, than all those who have given to the treasury. For they all put in out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty put in all that she had, her whole livelihood. I wonder who else there even noticed this widow. Jesus did. Very much. He was in tune with what she was doing. Matter of fact, God cares a lot about little things. She put in a little, but that was all that she had. And she used it, all that she had, for the Master's estate. And Jesus said, that's what I'm looking for. That's what I'm looking for, right there. Remember, God is the God who knows the number of hair on your head. Not such a great feat for people like me, but for some, that's impressive. God notices every sparrow. God cares for the lilies of the field. God is a God that notices little things. And what we do with a little talent or a little time or a little money tells God a lot. A passage that I think is very helpful in this is Luke 16, 10 and 11, which says, "He who is faithful in what is least is also faithful in much. He who is unjust in what is least is also unjust in much." Here's the conclusion. "Therefore, if you have not been faithful in unrighteous mammon," in other words, the material possessions that God has blessed you with, "who will commit to your trust real riches?" God's paying attention. He notices. And whether you have a little or a lot, He's paying attention if you're faithful with it. He wants to give you real riches, but first you have to demonstrate that you are a faithful steward of the material things that He's given you, the time that He's given you, the life and the opportunities that He's given you. And one thing that stands out in Jesus' teaching about stewardship is faithful stewardship will certainly be rewarded. Think about what we've already talked about here. In Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 10, "God is not unjust to forget your work and your labor of love which you have shown towards His name." God pays attention to that. He notices that. And in the parable of the talents, the faithful stewards were told what? "Well done. Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. I entrusted you with 5 talents or 2 talents or 1 talent. What did I want to do with that? I wanted you to be faithful in that and show me that you were trustworthy. Therefore, I could entrust to you much more and allow you to enter into the joy of your Lord. That's what I want for you. That's what He wants for us. He told the rich young ruler that if he would follow his master's will with his possessions and his life entrusted to him, that what? He would have treasure in heaven. Eternal life. I want to give you something greater than however much wealth you have right now. But you've got to use that faithfully first. Matthew 24, 46 and 47. Where we started out. Blessed is the servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. Assuredly, I say to you that he will make him ruler over all his goods. Blessed. I want to be a faithful steward because I know there's a blessing in that. God is looking to bless faithful stewards. So as we wait for our master to return, let us not lose sight of reality. And the reality is, it's all God's. It's all God's. He's the owner of all that we have. He has authority to say how it should be used. His instructions are clear and His expectations are high. That's reality. It's reality that we are stewards of these things. We are caretakers. We are managers of God's things. Our task is to use all that is entrusted to us to enhance the Master's estate and to please Him, and not just to please ourselves with it. And the day is coming in which we will have to explain to God why we invested His money and His time and His energy and the talents that He blessed us with and the possessions that He gave us. Why did we use them the way that we did? We'll have to give an account of that. But it's also reality that this is a marvelous opportunity. A marvelous opportunity. You ever heard somebody talk about some stock or something and they're like, man, this is the time. This is the time. You can get this on pennies for the dollar right now. You can invest $1,000 right now and I promise you that in 6 months from now you're going to have $20,000. And you hear that kind of stuff, and of course, most of the time, you know, this person probably doesn't know what they're talking about, and I'm not going to throw away my money. But then, what keeps you going? Well, you know of those type of things, of somebody who invested in some startup company back way back when, and now look at it, and it's worth this, and you say, boy, if I just, probably everyone who's ever looked at the stock market for any length of time 10, 20 years later are going to say, you know, I looked at that stock and I nearly bought that stock and I didn't buy that stock. And oh, I wish I would have, because I'd be a rich man today if I would have bought that stock. Those are golden opportunities, aren't they? And every old person looks back and maybe I should have bought that land when it came up for sale, or I should have done this, or whatever it is. Well, let me tell you something. What God is giving us right now is that opportunity. Whatever amount He's trusted us with, it's the opportunity for us to invest that, to use that, to be faithful with that for what He's entrusted it to us for. And what's the reward of that? There's treasure in heaven. There's true riches. There's glory. Enter into the joys of the Lord. Well done, good and faithful servant. That is what is at stake here. So when we talk about stewardship, it is a wonderful opportunity. Serious responsibility, but wonderful opportunity to invest what is someone else's to gain real riches and real treasure. That's the reality. And yet what people do all the time is they forget that and they squander that opportunity and use it as if it was their own to meet their own desires. And they miss it. They miss it. Let's not miss it. We cannot afford to take what God's entrusted to us and take undue risk or let capital erode away through idleness or just conserve resources. We must be using them for the Master's estate. We must be using it for the kingdom, to advance His will. And let us do so with the knowledge that our Master is watching and He's waiting to return a good reward on faithful stewards. So let's be faithful stewards. Tonight, what can we do to help you to be a better steward of what God's entrusted with you? What about this moment that God has given you right now? The life and the opportunity that you have right now to do something with this. What does the Lord want you to do with this moment? Maybe it's just to reflect on this lesson and say, you know what? I need to keep that in mind. Maybe it is, I know that there's something in my life I need to change. Are you going to invest this moment that God's given you by making the change that you need to make? You've got people surrounding you right now, encouraging you to be a faithful steward of whatever the opportunities that God's entrusted to you at this moment. Can we encourage you? Can we strengthen you? Can we help you to better follow the Master's will? If we can, we want to. So we're going to offer an invitation song, and the purpose of that is just to give everybody here an opportunity to say, look, if you need spiritual encouragement, if you need to make a change, if you need more knowledge of what God's will is, if you need help in some way from people who want to support you and help you in being faithful to the Lord, this is a great opportunity to reach out and say, hey, help me with this. Pray for me. Teach me. Help me to follow the Lord's instruction in whatever it may be. If we can do that this evening, we want to, while we stand and while we sing.